This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9. Good morning, I'm Roshan Kanisan, and you're listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, although markets have been rocky, it's inarguable that in the long run, in order to really grow your net worth, you have to be invested. And one of the philosophies that's generally talked about is value investing, and some of the biggest investors in the world use this, including Warren Buffett. And to explore this, I have in the studio with me Pauline Teo, Executive Director at 8VIC Global, which is a firm that provides financial education and training through what is known as the Value Investing College. She's also known as the Millionaire Mum and is a speaker and value investor. Pauline, welcome to the show.
Hi, Roshan. Hi, everyone.
So, Pauline, before we get into the value investing part of this, let's talk about your journey, because if I'm not mistaken, you were in the government before this. You were a civil servant.
Yes.
And had no investing experience whatsoever.
Yeah.
How long ago was this and how did you get into investing?
Okay, I started to so-called invest in unit trust in year 2000. It's like most people, because I come from Singapore and I used to be a public servant. So during that period of time, I was still a public servant in year 2000. So me and my husband, we got married and we wanted to set up a family fund. So we went to a financial consultant and bought the unit trust, right? So 2000 to 2009, near to 10-year period, during the subprime, we actually lost 40%.
Wow.
Yeah, which is about 40,000 Sing dollars. If I try convert it to ringgit, I think it's about 120K now.
Yeah, that's about
yeah,
right.
Which is a lot of money for us, because we are just employees, you know, normal employees that earn a few thousand dollars a month, and this is our hard-earned savings. So being very, you know, frustrated and disappointed, what I did was I went to attend a class and learn about investing. Yeah. And after that, I started to know that, oh, there is actually a way to invest, a proper method, which is used by the world's richest investor, Warren Buffett. So that's the reason why over the past so many years, you know, he has been doing so well in his investing, and there's a method to do so. So that's how I do it and continue to invest until today.
Yeah, so Pauline, just to be clear, you have no formal qualifications in terms of investing, correct?
This is your own initiative.
You took your own time to learn about
this.
Yes,
my first degree is hospitality and tourism. Yeah, and I work in the public sector because I am rice-bowl. Yeah, so that doesn't occur to me that I have to learn how to invest. It's just that really, after I attended the class or during the loss, I started to realize the best fund manager for ourselves is actually ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's about the control that you have over the money that you're investing.
Mm.
And just so a lot of this is going to be your personal experience with dealing with
that.
So before we get any further, how did you deal with that loss, that $40,000 loss or 40% loss? Because I think for most people, that would put you off investing completely.
Well, because I need to make back that $40,000. So I ask myself this question. You see, when things come, I mean, when you need I will always say this, when you are ready to learn, the teacher will always come. So when I lost that 40%, just nice, my brother gave me a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah, that book, after I read, I realized, oh, we really need to invest. I'm on the right track. It's just that I didn't do it properly. And that's why I source around and see how I can get myself educated. Because a lot of people like to tell me that they are not investing because they are not interested. After I do investing, I start to realize something. If you ask me whether initially was I interested to invest, the answer is definitely no. If not, I would have done banking and finance and got into the investing line. So why is it that eventually I learn it myself? It's because this is my own money, it's my hard-earned savings, and I want to make back my $40,000. All right, that pushed me to actually do it. And most importantly, I think I'm a mother of two. Yeah, I need to do it for my family, for my children. Yes, and because these funds are meant for their education.
So, so take us through it. After this, you started learning about investing on your own, following the principles of people like Warren Buffett.
Yes.
What were the first investments you made in this new journey?
First investment, you mean the stocks?
Yeah.
Once you
so post unit trust, you're now on your new journey of investing. What asset classes or what stocks were you buying?
Like,
what did your investment plan look like?
All right. So when I Before I knew about value investing, which is in 2010, all right, I only get to know the real thing about investing in 2010, March 2010. So before that,
so it was a 10-year journey.
Yes, a 10-year journey. Yeah, I've done it over 10 years already. And before that, I thought stocks and shares are just like fluctuations of the share prices. Only after being taught that I realized actually investing in stocks is about investing into a good business. And how to start to invest? Warren Buffett says it very well. Invest within your circle of competence. So after I learned about investing, I asked myself, what is my circle of competence? So when I was looking at the class, because I was in the public sector, and my friends are all attending the class in the private sector, so they know which one to start with, which is, you know, where they work in, property line, banking line. And then I asked, I don't work in those sectors, so what should I do? And then I start to realize, being a woman, I have an advantage. I like shopping. Yeah, so my first few investments were all shopping stocks. Like, for example, you know, within my circle of competence, I used to invest in this company called BreadTalk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can find it over here in Malaysia as well, where they sell bread. And then there's also the Toastbox where they sell coffee. You know, it is something that day in, day out people actually use. And I saw that during that period of time, it was actually queuing, you know, they were expanding their business. So I started off really with my circle of competence, something that I know.
And were you just investing within Singapore or were you looking overseas as well?
I started off with Singapore because that is the place that I'm used to, I mean, familiar with a circle of competence. And then after that, as I get more experience, I step out of Singapore, then Malaysia. Then I come and invest in Malaysia stocks, yeah, and then followed by now mainly in the United States and Hong Kong as well. Yes.
Okay, so this journey really started after the subprime crisis.
Yes,
in the
after
States.
The subprime.
And what have you observed? So we've seen what is one of the longest bull runs in a long time.
Yes.
There are some concerns that how long it will last. I think we just went through a correction recently, but what have been some of the key lessons you've learned in the last 10 years? Because it seems like if you invest in anything today, or if you had invested in anything 10 years ago, you would have made some money.
Sure. So that's the reason why I really believe in what Warren Buffett does, because he has gone through the various crises. For example, the 1995-96, during that's a Black Monday, all right? The 97-98 Asian financial crisis, the subprime, you know, crisis. Every 10 years, there's bound to be a crisis. And somehow right now, this stage, it's similar to 2008-2009, you know, that kind of situation where we have virus. That time was H1N1, now it's the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And things do happen. So when I actually started to invest, why I know it works is because after the subprime, when I learned value investing, the moment I invest, there was the euro debt crisis. Yeah,
right.
Can you imagine the moment I buy, it was actually down like a 25%. All over the world, the share prices drop, you know, as a new investor. But I know it works because I look at the financial results of those companies which I invest. They are still making very good profits, very good revenue. They are still doing well. So I understand what my mentor, all right, in Value Investing College said, which is, you know, just focus on the business, focus on the fundamentals, right? So this is what I did. I focus on it, making sure that they are still continuing to grow their businesses. And eventually, when people forgot about all these crises, okay, they come back to the fundamental and you see the share price does go up eventually because the company do well, the valuation of the company goes up.
All right, and we'll be continuing this in just a little bit, diving deeper into what exactly value investing means. You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Pauline Teo, Executive Director at 8VIC Global, which provides financial education and training through VI College, and also known as the Millionaire Mum. Now, Pauline, we were talking about fundamentals and looking at financial statements before this, which are key components of value investing. Now, when you're looking at financial statements, what are you paying attention to aside the profits?
One of the key things I think many of the investors overlook is this thing called cash flow. Yeah. Of course, revenue, profit is important. Yeah. The other thing that we need to look at would be cash flow. I think at this juncture, many companies start to realize cash flow is really important. Cash is king. Yeah. So a business must make sure that their cash flow always come in. So we look at things like, for example, their free cash flow, their cash ratio, to make sure that the company not only have profits, but their quality of earnings, you know, is having the cash that's coming in. The quality of earnings is there.
Yeah, because yes, there's a difference between revenue and cash flow, correct?
Precisely.
Because revenue is the money that, yes, the sales you've made,
yes,
but not necessarily the money that's come in,
correct,
actually.
Precisely.
So Pauline, to you, could you define value investing for us?
Value investing actually has got to do with our daily lifestyle. I always like to tell people value investing basically is you want to buy something worth a dollar for 50 cents. Now, buy something worth a dollar for 50 cents. Sound commonsensical. But the problem is this. Philip Fisher, who is one of the very well-known investors, also said this. A lot of people know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Yeah, that's why they can't really do investing, because they just focus on the share prices rather than on how the businesses, all right, or the value that the company has.
Right, yeah. So value investing is basically buying a stock for less than what it's currently
yes,
worth based on its
yes,
fundamentals.
So probably I can give an example on properties. Like, for example, I believe a lot of people buy houses. And in buying houses, you know, you want to, let's say you get valuation, right? And if the valuation is worth 500,000 ringgit, would you want to pay 700,000 ringgit for it? I don't think you would, right? But if somebody, for whatever reason, you know, need cash urgently, sell it to you at 4,000 ringgit, do you think it's worth buying? Of course.
Yeah, so a lot of times it's this is how stock market trades, right?
Yes.
There are people buying, there are people selling at
yes,
all times. So a key part of understanding value investing is how much something is worth,
yes,
right? Because there is a chance that something can be overvalued or something can be undervalued.
Mm.
And we are always looking for the undervalued assets. In your view, how do you determine what is overvalued?
Okay. When we look into a business, we don't just look at the valuation. In fact, the valuation is the last part, yeah? So in Value Investing College, we taught people about the 3R concept. We only invest into businesses with the right business model that consistently generate good revenue, growing profits and growing cash flow. And they have this thing called the economic moat. Yeah, which means a good competitive advantage. So having a right business model, the next thing we look at would be the right management. Management is important. They grow the company, right? Then the last thing we take a look to buy at the right valuation versus the price. However, the valuation versus the price is the last thing we look at. Why? Because a company can be good, all right? The management can be good. If it's now roughly overvalued, overvalued means we have to understand based on the formula just now we mentioned, for example, PE ratio or discounted cash flow methods, okay? We calculated the valuation. If it's above the valuation, generally, we probably put it in the watch list, you know, and then we wait for it to be undervalued to buy. So this is where I always tell people, buy, when we want to buy, we have to actually wait for the 3R to meet before we actually buy. Buy only when 3R meet. Yes.
Okay. And so one thing here is that you've been an investor during what has been a great bull run, right? Are you concerned about the potential of a bear market returning? Is that because that's going to be a new experience for a lot of us who have become investors in the last 10 years?
Probably, I think. But somehow you should know, for value investors like us, I always pray for actually a bear. Yeah, if not, how would I be able to buy low, right? It's always buy low, sell high. The theory, the principle never change. If the share price doesn't come down, how I buy low, correct not? So it's always a case. What I love value investing is during the bear market is a good time for me to buy. During a bull market, you know, it's still a good market sometimes for me to buy and sell as well. Yeah. So always understand this principle. I always go with the 3R concept, regardless whether it's a bear or a bull. And I know one thing, stock market eventually in the mid to long term will always go up.
Yeah, I was looking at the S&P 500 data over the last 40 years. I think on an annualized basis, it's been going up about 8.5%.
Yes.
Which is the goes to the saying, right, that a stock over time, the stock market always goes up.
Always goes up.
So one of the things that Warren Buffett currently is getting a bit of heat for is holding a lot of cash on hand.
Yes, yes.
Because I think he, like you, is also hoping for a bear market
to buy
cheap assets.
Yes.
How do you balance between holding cash to buy assets on the cheap and being invested? Do you have a view on that?
Okay. I have this theory which says always stay invested, but don't invest all. Yeah.
Okay. So do you have like a personal number or percentages for that?
So I practice this thing called the 30-30-40 concept. Mm. Yeah, you see, 30-30 and 40-S together would be 100%. Yeah. So 30%, I would always stay, the first 30%, I always stay invested regardless of the market. Okay. Regardless of the market. Because at any juncture, you can see that if I buy into a good company, eventually this company, the valuation would go up because of their revenue and cash flow going up. And eventually their share price would go up in the mid to the long term. Yeah. And I can get good dividends from it. So the next 30%, I would always activate during what we call a correction. The market likes to call it a correction, but I like to call it a discount, you know. Yeah. I always like to use layman terms, you know. Okay. So when there's a great discount, a slight discount, I think, good. That's how we go shopping, right? When there's some discount, like a 20%, 10%, it's good to buy. Scoop up some more. When do I activate the last 40%? During the time when there's a major crisis. See, I will always stay invested, but don't invest all right? And I believe many people out there now listening, you have a job. Every month, you have your salary. You have your income coming in. Always stick to the discipline. Save aside. Pay yourself first. Set aside some money, all right? Always can be used for investing. You need not have a lot. 300 ringgit, 500 ringgit every month. You know, you keep doing this. 1 year, you have a few thousand ringgit. All right. And you can start to buy, you can start to invest. You continue to do this, like what you mentioned, Roshan. Even if you don't know how what to buy, you know, just go into buying the ETFs, the indexes, 8% per year.
Yeah. So let's talk about that before we end. In the last 10 years, actually, we've also seen the boom of ETFs. And right now, a lot of robo advisors have come up.
Basically,
digital investment managers that invest the money for you.
Yes.
What is the... And, you know, value investing takes a lot of time and effort. Mm-hmm. So what is the value of value investing versus these new robo-advisors or just buying into the S&P 500?
Well, I'm now reading a book by Howard Marks. It's called The Most Important Thing. Yeah. And one thing he said is this. Well, if you just want to be a normal investor, you are happy with 8%, continue to do it. But as long as you know you do it systematically, that means every month you put in. All right. You don't need to time the market. The way that we talk about, you know, 8% per year is when you don't time the market, you keep putting in your money on
the
a consistent.
Dollar cost averaging.
Yes, dollar cost averaging. Yeah. So it's just every month having the discipline to just
invest,
put the money. Yeah. Instead of you saving in the bank, you see, if you are a strong believer that and you understand this thing about investing in stocks, that it's a business that as population go up, we will need to still continue to use all these products and services. It will eventually go up, right, for the long term. And that's how the ETFs are good. But if you want to be a more sophisticated investor, for example, you want to beat the 8%, then of course, you got to do this thing called the stock pick. And the stock pick has proven over the years to have done better than just the ETFs. If you choose a good business over the years, those value investors that I've seen, okay, buying good companies that is really having what we call the economic moat, they can grow at about 15% on average to about 20% per year. You know, you add in all the capital appreciation plus the dividends that they collect. Frankly speaking, over the years, it's not difficult. You know, just like Warren Buffett, 20% per year. Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's just very important to note that when it comes to things like stock picking, you have to do your homework. Mm. Don't simply go and put money into the market, because if you lose, that will really set you back. And if that's the situation where you are time constrained, then maybe you need to look at something like ETFs or robo-advisors.
Yes, and, the knowledge is very important. Need to have the right knowledge.
Yes, and obviously this is all based on Pauline's experience in the markets over the last 10 years. Pauline, I don't think you're a CFP, right?
No. I don't have a CFA or CFP, though. my company, a lot of them has got CFAs.
Okay, and that is the Value Investing College.
Yes, the Value Investing College, yes.
All right, on that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Roshan. Thank you.
I was speaking to Pauline Teo, Executive Director at 8VIC Global, a firm that provides financial education and training through the Value Investing College. You've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. If you've got any questions, let us know over at Twitter at Ringgit & Sense or email us at ringgit@bfm.my. Up next is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Karnison, signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.